Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we conclude our teaching series with Lesson 10 of The Great I Am. Live phone calls are not available today, but the voicemail system is always open for you, our listeners, at 844-322-2742. So if you need answers for the challenges of everyday living, or if there's a Bible passage you don't quite understand, well, leave us a voicemail. We always love hearing from you, and again, that number is 844-322-2742. But for right now, it's the continuing, lesson 10 of the concluding lesson of our series called The Great I Am. And here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And I think this is going to be a very timely lesson in light of what we're facing as a country and as a world as far as this coronavirus is concerned. And we, as believers, really need to take a fresh look at Jesus Christ and recognize that he truly is our great I Am. Yes. And that in any situation like this, we don't have to give in to the fear and the panic that the world is giving into. We can stand on solid ground knowing that our God is going to take care of us.
Indeed.
He's going to give us the confidence that we need to move through these situations. He's going to give us the wisdom that we need, mm-hmm. the patience that we need, and he's going to open our eyes to see the great opportunities that we have in a situation like this to give an answer for the hope that we have within us.
Yes.
So this is a timely lesson. And before we really jump into it, Bob, I do want to point people to our YouTube channel, mm-hmm. basicgospel.net/YouTube. Yesterday, Coleman and I did a video on the Christian and the coronavirus, and we looked at a grace response, basically, to that, a gospel-based response, and how this gospel can shape our thinking
mm-hmm.
And enable us to stand out instead of caving into the panic that's out there in the world. And we see that time and time again in the Word of God, that the Word of God calls us as believers to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And
yeah.
certainly we have this opportunity to stand out and to shine as lights in this world of darkness and give hope to people.
Yes.
So with that, we're going to dive into this lesson. And again, it's all about Jesus. It's the fact that he is our great I Am, and we certainly need him. We need him at all times. But we definitely need a fresh look at him in times like these to recognize that he truly is the sufficient one. So we're going to go right back to a passage in John chapter 8. And this is a conversation that Jesus is having with the Pharisees. And he has gone back and forth with them on various things. He's basically said that you are of your father, the devil. If you were of me, of my flock, you would listen to me, you would follow me, you would know the truth, and the truth would set you free. But because you're not listening to me, because you actually are plotting to have me killed, you're not of
right.
me.
Yeah.
And they go on and ask some questions, and toward the end of this conversation, they ask this, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" In other words, Jesus, who in the world do you think you are?
Yeah.
And Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God." So Jesus is really poking the finger in their chest, saying, "Hey, you say this God of the Old Testament is your God, but it's this God of the Old Testament that sent me, and he and I are one in the same. And so if he's your God, then I'm your God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Now, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And at this, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So Jesus is taking the name, I am, for himself. Now, this was offensive to the Jews because this was the very name of their God in the Old Testament. That's what God said to Moses, I am who I am, has sent you to the people. So the name of God in the Old Testament was I am. And here Jesus is claiming that for himself, making himself equal with the Father. That's why they picked up stones to stone him, because they thought he was committing blasphemy.
Right.
And blasphemy in the Old Covenant was a stonable offense. So they were doing what the law dictated for them to do. But they understood and they heard clearly that Jesus was claiming the same name as God the Father, I am. Now, what does this phrase mean? What is Jesus saying? Well, he's saying this, that he's always existed, that he is who he is, and that he's never changing, he's ever constant, that he is sufficient in and of himself, that Jesus had no need for anything outside of himself for his own contentment, for his own enjoyment. He was sufficient in and of himself. And it also means that he's sufficient for you and for me.
Yes.
That we are insufficient in and of ourselves. We don't have what it takes to be complete apart from a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. If we are out on our own, we're nothing but a worthless branch.
Yes.
But if we're going to find real life and real meaning and purpose and real significance and real identity and real destiny, we have to be attached to Jesus Christ. He is sufficient in and of himself. He is sufficient for you and me. He is sufficient to meet every need of the human heart. That means every need of your heart and my heart.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, friends, and you're listening to the 10th and final session of our study called The Great I Am. And we'll get back to Bob in just a moment, but let me remind you that if you'd like to review the series, you can find the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. You'll also find the study notes to go along with each session. It's all free, and we hope you'll review the lessons and share them with your family and friends so that they, too, might hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, the archive, you'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. So now back to The Great I Am, and here again is my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So Jesus Christ is the Great I Am. He has the same name that God the Father has from the Old Testament. He has claimed that for himself. And what he's saying is that he and the Father are one, that they've always existed. They've always been sufficient in and of themselves. They're always going to be who they are. They're never going to change from that. And within them contains everything that we need for life and godliness. So if we're going to be complete, if we're going to be whole human beings, if we're going to have a life, then we need to be connected to Jesus Christ. We need him to be our great I am.
Yes.
Not just the great I am over there, but our great I am. So he's taken this phrase, this name, I am, and he's attached it to a number of claims that he made about himself. And that's what we've spent the last 9 weeks going over, are these particular claims. So in John 6:35, Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So as human beings, we're out there on a search, on a quest for something that will fill these hungry souls of ours, these thirsty souls of ours. Well, we're not going to find it out there in the world. We're going to have to turn to Christ. He is the bread of life, and when we eat of him, and that's a phrase that means believe or to have faith in him, then we're going to be satisfied. We will not hunger. We will never thirst again. So our search comes to an end in Christ Jesus. In John 8:12, he said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And certainly this is important and timely for where we are in human history. Right now, we need light in this crazy world of darkness. And you look out there in the world today, and you think, man, it has gone mad. I mean, Stephen, who works with us, his son works at a grocery store, and he sent a text to his dad saying, what is going on? People are coming into this store, and they're just crazy.
Yeah.
They're going for everything. It's like a madhouse. And why is that? Well, because fear and panic has set in. People are collapsing under the fear and panic that this coronavirus has injected into the world system. They're collapsing underneath it. And so they're letting the darkness decide for them, to move them, to motivate them. But Jesus says, wait a minute, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. What is he saying? He's saying this, that we as believers, we as folks who have come to know Jesus as our great I am, we don't need to give in to the fear and panic of the world. We don't need to allow those things to control us, to motivate us, to shape how we think, to shape the actions that we take. We can rest assured that our God, the great I am, is bigger than whatever is going on out there in the world. And we can trust him that he is going to walk us through this situation day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, minute by minute. We can trust the great I am, who is the light of the world, who is our light. And we don't have to give in to the fear and the panic and all of that that's going on out there in this crazy world
right today.
So talk about good news, and talk about a timely message, and talk about a reminder for all of us as believers in Christ. Just this one passage, I am the light of the world. That should bring some calm and some peace and some assurance and some wisdom and some soundness to you right now, knowing that Jesus is the light of your world.
Absolutely. As I closed the article inside the studio for this weekend, Bob, I did so with the thought that I can practically hear the Lord up there going, hey, coronavirus, ha, I've got this.
I've got this. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And we would love to hear from you over the weekend. If you have a question or something you'd like to pose to us, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. And if you'd like to start each day being reminded of the truth of your identity in Jesus Christ, one of the best ways that we know of is to subscribe to the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of our website. That's basicgospel.net. The Daily Devotional will then arrive in your email inbox every morning, reminding you that you are a dearly beloved child of God. Again, click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at basicgospel.net. Now back to the concluding session of our series called The Great I Am, and here again is Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So the next I Am statement comes from John 10, verse 9, and actually in this chapter he gives two of these I Am statements. The first is this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So we see the door to salvation is Jesus Christ himself. So there's no other way to be saved except through him. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved other than his. So if we're going to experience salvation, if we're going to experience deliverance from sin and death, Jesus is the door to deliver us from that and to bring salvation into our lives. And once we're saved, there's liberty, there's freedom. We can experience this liberty for the first time in our lives. And that's what it means when he says we can go in and out and find pasture. So what's the need of the human heart? Salvation. We need to be set free from sin and death. We need to be set free from that control that we were under, mm-hmm. and delivered into the very hands of Jesus Christ himself, where we can experience true freedom, true liberty. And then in that same chapter, he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And again, getting back to where we are today, the president has just declared a national emergency here in the United States, which means federal funds are going to be released to states so they can fight this pandemic even more aggressively than what's been going on up until now. But with that, a national emergency, those are scary words.
Yes, indeed.
That just, you know, puts even more fear into the equation. Well, what do we need in the midst of this? We need a good shepherd. We need somebody that can shepherd us through this situation.
Yeah.
Well, who is that good shepherd? Well, it's not our government.
No.
Certainly there are experts, they're medical experts, and we certainly need to listen to what they're saying and follow some of those instructions. But the voice that we need to listen to more than any is Jesus Christ himself. He is our good shepherd, and he could shepherd us through this situation. How to handle it as far as, you know, what your job situation may look like tomorrow or next week or the next week. What your family situation may look like today or next week or the next week. Jesus Christ can shepherd you through that and bring you to the end of it in a very wonderful and positive way. Then in John chapter 11, Jesus made this claim, and this is one of my favorites of all of his statements. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, why is this important for us at this particular moment in time? Because we're going to meet, we're going to encounter, we're going to engage with people who are scared to death, who are going to be asking the question, what if I get coronavirus? What if I can't defeat it? What if it brings me to the end of my life? What's going to happen to me? Well, we have an opportunity to share hope, to infuse hope into their lives. Mm-hmm. And what is that hope? It is the hope of resurrection. It is Jesus Christ himself. That death, coronavirus, is not more powerful than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of us are going to die at some point. That's just inevitable for every single human being. Well, we have hope, knowing that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even though our bodies are going to die, we're not going to die.
No.
So we can offer that hope. We can do exactly what Peter said for all of us to do, to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within us. Well, what is that hope? The fact that we have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that he is the resurrection and the life. So we're going to have that opportunity to share this hope with people who are fearful, who are wondering what would happen to me if I got the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So here's something that we can take to them. John 14:6 says, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's a lot of people out there that say there are many ways to God. And when you examine what their philosophies are and where they don't lead to God. They lead away from God. There's only one path that leads to the one true God, and that's Jesus Christ himself. So if you want to have a relationship with the Father, Jesus Christ is the only way. If you want to know the truth about the Father, the fact that the Father loves us, that he so loved us that he sent Jesus into this world, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life, you're only going to know that through Jesus.
Sure.
You're going to find out the truth about the love of the Father in Jesus Christ. If you want to experience true and meaningful life, Jesus Christ is the only life available. Everything else that is out there in the world that presents itself as true life is empty. It's hollow. It has no substance to it. It leaves you wanting for something more, but not Jesus. He is that true life. So if you want to know the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus needs to be your great I am.
Yes.
And again, you're going to have opportunity in this situation to share the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life with people that you engage with. And then the final thing that he says is in John 15:5, and we talked about this last week. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. God wants us to be fruitful in our lives.
Yes.
And there's only one way for us to be fruitful, to flourish as human beings, and that's to be attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. And once we're attached to the vine, and how does that happen? It happens the very moment that we believe the gospel. We believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and then on the third day was raised back to life. That is the gospel story. That is the good news, and it's the story of Jesus. And when we believe that, we get attached to the vine. We get attached to Jesus Christ. And from that point forward, that is the realm of our life. He is where we live our lives. So we're constantly abiding in him. And as we live our lives in Jesus, we're going to bear fruit. That's just the way God has set up this relationship. So we're going to bear the fruit of his life and manifest that out there in the world today. Now, again, this is timely. Why? Because what people need to see is a manifestation of the very life of Jesus Christ. Well, they can see it through us, through those of us who know Jesus, who are attached to him as our vine, who are living their lives by faith and by dependence upon him. That's the way this works.
Yes.
And we have that opportunity to show folks what Jesus is really like, to show them the way to God, the truth about God, the life of God, to show that there's hope in Jesus and the fact that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is the good shepherd, that they need a shepherd, and they can be shepherded through their life situations just as we are, that there's a door to enter into, that there's a light of this world, that there is bread that will quench their hunger and their thirst.
Yes.
We have a great I am in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one that we need in good times and bad. He's our very life. So I ask the question, is he your great I am? And if so, will you make him known to others who need him as their great I am? Right now, here today.
Bob, thank you. And friends, thank you for joining us for this final session of our series, The Great I Am on Basic Gospel. If you would like to have the study notes from these Friday sessions, visit the program archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. On that page, you can also catch up with any of the sessions you may have missed along the way. Now, Bob has done a marvelous job in putting this series together for us. These things don't just fall into place. There's a lot of work that goes into it. So, Bob, thank you for the clarity of your teaching on The Great
I Am. Well, thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Friends, we encourage you, as I said, to share this with your family and friends. You'll find it at the teaching archive, basicgospel.net/teaching. And if what you hear on this program is helping you grow in the grace of God, well, please help Basic Gospel keep this good news coming. You can do so by donating anytime, now or anytime, at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. We hope you'll click it today and become a partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your cordial invitation to be with us again on Monday for Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.